Our Old Testament reading, Psalm 12. The title is To the Chief Musician on an Eight-Stringed Harp, a Psalm of David. Let's read together. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Notice particularly before we turn the page, here are the flatterers that are speaking proud things that say, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I'll have a reference to that in the sermon in just a moment. Let's turn in our New Testament reading to the book of James. James chapter 3 and verses 5 through 12. You'll find it on page 637 of the Pew Bible. Let's read. Again, this time just listen, please, as I read the New Testament reading. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. The reading of God's holy word. The title of the message this morning is Power to Bless, Power to Curse. In our text, you've heard James say of the tongue, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Clearly, the tongue has power to bless and power to curse. It is more and more apparent, particularly in this election season, that the language of political discourse has become very heated and vitriolic. People seem to have forgotten the idea of politeness, of respecting someone as a person, a fellow human being made in the image of God, even when you disagree with what he says. Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who is generally very polite, even to people with whom he disagrees, recently said he's not a restaurant guy anymore because of the way he's treated when he goes out to dinner in Washington, D.C. He said, and I quote, "I can't really go to a lot of restaurants anymore because I get yelled at. I don't feel threatened. But having someone scream at you in a restaurant, it just wrecks your meal. Well, Tucker Carlson has been on the receiving end of unruly tongues full of deadly poison. Perhaps you have experienced that too. It stings. It hurts. Many things in life have the potential for either good or ill. The printed page, guns, sex, automobiles, medicine, food, drink. The list could go on and on. Each of these has great potential for good and great potential for harm. The printed page can be used to inform or to spread the gospel. Certainly very good uses of the printed page. Negatively, it can be used to spread libel or publish pornography. Or take guns. They can be used for self-defense, but they can also be used to murder someone. Some people think that if guns are outlawed, people would be safer. Others correctly observe that guns don't kill, people do. A gun is a tool. It can be used for either good or ill. Sex is a gift that God gave to be used within the bonds of marriage. It results in the bearing of children, a heritage of the Lord, something very precious. But people sometimes use the desire for sex in wicked ways, such as fornication, adultery, or rape. They are misusing the Creator's gift for selfish or cruel ends. Automobiles have been a great benefit to mankind. They have certainly made travel easier. The automobile, for instance, allowed us, Norma and me, to attend our grandson's third birthday party yesterday in Grand Rapids and then come back in the same day, and could not have done that on foot, definitely. The Amish, though, perhaps you know this, they do not allow their members to own an automobile. The reason that is that automobiles open up possibilities for all kinds of mischief. Better not to allow them than to go down that road. Just think of teenagers making out in the back of an automobile or something like that. So they just say, our members are not going to have automobiles. What about medicines? Medicines are a wonderful gift to the human race. They have wiped out deadly diseases. And yet, I think we're all aware of the fact that medicines can be abused. Many people have died in what has been called the opioid epidemic. That would be a misuse of medicines. Well, what about food and drink? None of us can exist without it. Food and drink are clearly gifts from God, from the God who Paul tells us, writing to Timothy, he says he's given us richly all things to enjoy. Well, I think most of us enjoy our favorite foods and so forth. Food and drink are needed to sustain life, yet they can be abused. We must eat and drink to live, yet living for the purpose of eating or drinking is an abuse of God's gift. Gluttony and drunkenness are sinful. The biblical principle is moderation. Well, so it is with the tongue. The tongue is a great gift. What mother has not rejoiced when her young child looked up into her eyes and said, "I love you"? What traveler, lost and unable to find his way, has not been thankful for the stranger who used his tongue to give him directions? What Christian has not rejoiced that someone told him the story of the gospel? All of us should rejoice in that. We've heard the gospel. We've heard how God sent his Son to die for sinners. The ability to communicate with the spoken word is surely a great benefit. Yet, the tongue can inflict great harm as well. It can inflict a wound whose sting will be felt for a lifetime. The goal for the Christian must be to use his tongue for good, to glorify God and to bless his fellow man. As you listen to the sermon today, ask yourself, am I using my tongue for good? I have 3 points this morning. First of all, God is Lord of the tongue. God is Lord of the tongue. The Bible teaches that God is Lord over everything. Psalm 24 begins with the words, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The earth and everything in it is God's creation. It belongs to Him, and it's to be used for His glory. God has a claim over us because He made us. You and I did not create ourselves. We are the product of God's creative word. He opened His mouth and said, "Let us make man in our image." So we belong to God. The human body is intricate and complex. All our bodily organs and processes work together to sustain life. That didn't just happen. Matter did not suddenly appear out of nothing. Life did not suddenly begin from non-life. God is the Lord and giver of life. It is He who gave to us life and breath and all things. Acts 17:25. God has a claim over us because He made us. When the Bible teaches that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that everything includes all the parts and faculties of our being. That everything includes the tongue. And here in the first 12 verses of James chapter 3, God demonstrates His lordship over the tongue by specifying how we are to use our tongues. He doesn't come apologetically. He says, "This is how I want you to use your tongue." And God has every right to require this because He is the Lord of our tongues. In our Old Testament text, the psalmist says, and we repeated it just a little while ago, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" Psalm 12, verses 3 and 4. Here David expresses God's displeasure over man's sins of the tongue. Here were people who were rising up in rebellion against Jehovah God. That's the word that's used in the original there. With prideful hearts, they challenged the God of heaven. They said, with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And when they said, "Who is Lord over us?" the word in the original is Adon, meaning Lord. This is the word that is used of Sarah when it said in the New Testament that Sarah called Abraham Lord. Well, she used the word Adon in the Hebrew. It's the root of the word Adoni or Adonai. Adonai means my Lord. And that, I think many of you know, it's a very common word for God found in the Old Testament. When these wicked, prideful men said, "Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us?" they were saying something like, "There is no God to whom we are ultimately responsible. We are free to make up our own rules. Man is Lord over all." Here is the root of all sin: the assertion of human autonomy, man putting himself in the place of God. Here is man proudly saying, "There is no God," or at the very least, something like, "God is a wimp. I'm going to do my own thing, and He can't do anything about it." A sinful creature challenges the Creator and says, "I'm going to live by my own rules." But as we saw last week, God has warned us that He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. On that day every mouth will be stopped, and all the world will acknowledge that God was right all along, and that our deeds are sinful in His sight. Here we are, living on God's earth, breathing God's air, dependent on God for our every breath. It is certainly most inappropriate for us to say, I'm going to live by my own rules. Is this how you live? Do you resent the fact that God has given us a law and requires us to obey it? The Apostle Paul describes the wicked as those who are deceived. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. This shows that a person must receive the love of the truth in order to be saved. And a born-again person does receive the love of the truth. He knows and he's convinced that God's word is truth. He accepts it and wants to live his life by it. Whether you love God's truth or not does not change the fact that one day you will stand before God when he judges the world in righteousness. On that day, you will acknowledge that God's word is truth. You will acknowledge that God is the Lord of the tongue, that he is Lord of your tongue, that he is right and just to judge your every word. Jesus plainly warned that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. You have been warned. God is Lord of the tongue, and one day you will give account of every word that you have spoken. And how many words do we speak over the course of a lifetime? Sometimes we do not even remember our own words, but they nevertheless come back to haunt us. When Jesus read the scriptures and gave a brief message in the synagogue in Nazareth, it is said, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Luke 4:22. Here is the one, Jesus, who has never had to take back a word. In the classic story, Lassie Come Home, when Joe's father, having lost his job when the mine closed, in desperation sold his beautiful collie, the dog escaped and ran back to Joe. The Duke's dog keeper, Hines, came to Joe's cottage and confronted Joe's mother and father, saying, "No surprise, your dog's back. I know you villagers and your come-home dogs. You sell an honest man a dog and train it to dig out and sell it to someone else before the hour's up." The author says, he reached for Lassie, and she shrank from him. Hines could not easily get around Joe's mother. She was his size and then some. "You'll take those words back," she said. Our Lord Jesus Christ never had to take back a word, not a one. For every word that he spoke was a gracious word, a word of grace, the truth of Almighty God. Even when he rebuked the religious leaders for their hypocrisy and unbelief, it was a word of grace, a word of warning for a generation about to experience the wrath of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only person in the history of the world whose every word was true and right and praiseworthy. We, human beings who have sinned with our tongues, sorely need his grace and forgiveness. He died for our sins that we might live. God alone is Lord of the tongue. Well, the second thing that we see in our text is that only God can tame your tongue. Only God can tame your tongue. James's language is memorable. especially in the King James Version. I'm pretty partial to this translation. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. But the tongue can no man tame. Seven little one-syllable words that need to be memorized by every Christian. Matter of fact, let's say it together. But the tongue can no man tame. That's what he said. He says that every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. He emphasizes the fact that man has been able to tame the beasts. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. Now, we all know the difference between wild and domestic animals. We love our cats and our dogs, but we are naturally leery of wild animals, some of us more than others. Most of us probably do not want to come face to face with a wild animal. Perhaps you remember the story of Steve Irwin, an Australian conservationist and television personality who was nicknamed the Crocodile Hunter and achieved worldwide fame from his television series by that name. By his bravery and bravado, he introduced to millions the beauty of wild animals. Yet, perhaps you know that he died tragically from a stingray's bite that pierced his heart. Now, James says, every kind of beast is tamed and has been tamed by man. Notice the words exactly. He doesn't say every beast without any qualification, but every kind of beast. Now, I'm not sure if it's possible to tame a stingray. I certainly am not going to take the time to try to tame it. But other sea creatures, such as dolphins and whales, have been tamed. So have horses, ponies, rabbits, mice, parrots, pigeons, falcons, water buffalo, bees, and camels. Some are easily tamed. Others are tamed with great patience and persistence. James acknowledges this. But then he says, the tongue can no man tame. Here is a picture of human inability. Try as we might, we cannot reform ourselves. We cannot perfect ourselves. We cannot will ourselves to do good. We cannot, by our own efforts, cleanse our mouths and begin to speak only the truth of God to the glory of God. The tongue can no man tame. The lesson is clear. Only God can tame your tongue. Man cannot tame his own tongue, but God can tame that tongue. And thankfully, over the years that I've been in the ministry, I've seen men's lives changed who before cursed and took God's name in vain and were very disrespectful to God and to their fellow man, and then they become a Christian. The Holy Spirit changes their heart and gives them a new vocabulary. Now, sometimes they mess up and they have to apologize for their words, but all things have become new. So my question to you is, do you recognize your need? Your sins are great. Remember, God's standard is absolute perfection, and you do not measure up. I do not measure up either. At the final day, you and I will give account for every idle word. You speak thousands of words every day. Most of us at least do. There are stories of men who hardly ever spoke. And when they spoke, maybe they just spoke monosyllables. And there are people like that. But most of us, we talk quite a bit. And I don't know about you, but I can't always remember everything I've said. And of course, the thing that we ought to do is to speak the truth all the time, and then we don't have to think, now, what did I say to this person? Does it match what I'm going to say right now? We don't have to think about that kind of thing. But at the final day, we will all give account for every idle word. So think of it. At the final judgment, the millions of words that you and I have spoken will witness against us. God has taken account of all of them. He will remember them with perfect recollection. Sinner, your situation is hopeless. You cannot save yourself. You stand in need of the perfect righteousness of Christ credited to your account. You must repent of your attempts to be Lord over your lips and turn to Christ alone to save you. Yet the gospel is good news. That's what the word means, in fact. Gospel, God's spell, God's story that he wants to tell us. The gospel is good news. And that good news is that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Well, thirdly, the purpose of the tongue is to bless God and speak truth for the glory of God. Now, James doesn't really dwell on this particular point very much, but it's clearly there. He says of the tongue, "With it we bless our God and Father." Here he alludes to the purpose of the tongue. It is an instrument. It is to be an instrument of blessing. The word bless, the word for bless means to speak well of. Man's chief end is to glorify God. And we glorify God by our actions, but the primary way in which we glorify God is through our tongues. When we give a cup of cold water to a needy stranger, we must tell him that we are doing it in Christ's name. That is, we give a verbal witness along with the witness of our good deed. So he wants us to use our tongues to glorify God. Maybe you remember the words of the hymn that talks about loose my tongue to sing your praises. And that's a good prayer for all of us all the time. Well, ultimately, it is God from whom all blessings flow. So how can we bless God? We're used to the idea of God blessing us. And surely he blesses us. He blesses us with health. He blesses us with stamina and strength. He gives us the food that we are to eat, and we accept that as a blessing from God. And everything we have comes from him. As James has already written in his book back in chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is the creator, and we're mere creatures. How can mere creatures bless God? We bless God as we worship him in truth, speaking his words and how they have affected us back to him. God loves to hear his word. He loves it when we read and seek to understand his word, and then when we pray it back to him. As a matter of fact, we could do that with the opening words of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We can turn that into a prayer. Lord, help me to bless you. Help me to bless you with all my soul. Help me to focus my blessing on you, from whom all blessings flow. And we sang Psalm 103 earlier in the service. And I love that particular rendering of Psalm 103 that it keeps using the word bless. But just think of how it starts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here is the redeemed soul who has been blessed by God, speaking back his blessing to the God who has blessed him. That's the purpose of the tongue. And all of us should say, Lord, loose my tongue so that I can sing your praises. When we say that the purpose of the tongue is to bless God and speak truth for the glory of God, what we are saying is that you and I and everyone need to become worshipers of God. We need to gather with His people on His day and bless Him as we sing His praises, as we lift up our hearts in prayer, as we sit obediently at His feet, listening to the preaching of His word. We need to become worshipers of God. And of course, our worship doesn't end there. All of us, I think, should develop a devotional life where we pray without ceasing, as God's word has taught us to do, and where we learn how to read Scripture and pray it back to God and tell Him, God, this is your truth. I love it. Give it to me. Help me to hide it in my heart. Help me to practice it with my life. We need to become worshipers of God. Power to bless, power to curse. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. By the way, that last statement, with it we curse men, doesn't mean that there's not a place for civil judges to judge a person's conduct to be contrary to the law. And it doesn't mean that a Christian cannot judge that a person's conduct has been contrary to the law of love. But we don't curse men by virtue of our own authority. We curse them, if need be, based upon the authority of God's word. Well, let me just give you the 3 points once again. First, God is Lord of the tongue. And David quotes these men who says, "Who is Lord of my lips? Who is Lord of my tongue?" And they're wrong. God is Lord of the tongue. Only God can tame your tongue. Only God can give you a heart to know Him. Only God can draw you to Himself and give you the love of His truth. Only God can tame your tongue. You can't just turn over a new leaf, make a new resolution, and have success from this point on. You stand in need of the power of God. And then remember, finally, that the purpose of the tongue is to bless God and to speak truth for the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are certainly in need of your redeeming grace, your mercies which are new every morning. Lord, we stand in need of your salvation. We stand in need of your Christ. Lord, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ blessed his Father. We think of him when he's speaking the words of John chapter 17, and he says to the Father, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me." Lord, we thank you for the respectful way in which you spoke to the Father. And Lord, we thank you for the gracious words that proceeded out of your lips. We thank you, Lord, that people realized that your speech was different from the common speech of the common people. And Lord, we recognize that we sorely need your power to change our hearts, to change us from people that curse God and man because things do not turn out our way, to those that bless you with their whole heart. Lord, turn us into your worshipers. Help us to take delight in being in your presence, in learning of you, and in putting every aspect of our life into conformity with you by your grace and by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to learn to bless with our tongues, to bless people around us whom we love and whom we so often hurt by thoughtless words. Help us, Lord, to bless our neighbors and people that need to hear the gospel. Help us, Lord, to give testimony to you with our tongues. We pray all these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.